Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast, powered by Self-Recoding, world-class consulting and coaching services that you can access at selfrecoding.com. Self-Recoding is a unique blend of neurohealing modalities that will empower you to reach your full potential. Join thousands of others who have experienced rapid results in their journey of personal growth. Now enjoy our show where we bring you tools for a powerful mind with your hosts, Cassie Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I'm your host, Cassie Tate from Australia. With me as always, your host from America, Daisy Papp. Hi, Daisy.
Hello, my dear. I did not mean to record, but that first intro just really pushed the button through me to record. And whoever wants to see us as well as we are recording, you can find that. And Kathy's going to tell you where, because that's not my department. Hello, my dear. So good to see you. And I'm glad that we are co-creating and producing another episode for Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution. What is up your sleeves?
Up my sleeve today, I'm going to throw a topic out there that might be very interesting, I think. We're going to talk about arguments. And the reason I want to talk about this is because I feel that it is super common that people in relationships, romantic or otherwise, do this very badly.
Or very profoundly.
I'm certainly going to put my hand up and say that I have never been trained to argue in a healthy way. So let's bring it on and talk about arguments for our audience.
I really feel like being put on the spot. I admit I have a reputation that I'm not arguable, or it's not possible to really have fun arguing with me. Well, I'm human too, and I recall where I was arguing, and I do think today, I could be wrong. I'm the first to admit, don't believe me anything. Go and do your own research and be a self-thinker. That's my suggestion for everyone. When I am stuck in the need to be right, and then I meet another one who is also stuck in the need to be right, then what am I truly upset about? I am upset that they are in their need to be right instead of daring to come over to see and step into my shoes and look at the situation from my point of view. But isn't it true to me too? Because there would not be any arguments if I walked over there and put myself in their shoes to see their point of view. That's the short version.
Yeah, I think that's super true, because the old saying, takes two to tango.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't stand there and argue with yourself, really, can you? You could have a one-sided conversation and argue with yourself, yeah, but not really what we're talking about. And yes, it takes two people to become entangled in this. And I also think that it's super frustrating when only one of the parties feels the need to be right as well, because I feel like that can be a catalyst for a lot of frustration as well. So whether both parties are stuck in that need to be right, or one of them is stuck in that need to be right, we have a problem.
I agree with you. It's very discomforting. Nevertheless, let's say you are in the need to be right. I'm just making this up. No, this is what I said, and this is how it's supposed to be, and I want it this way. I can leave you with your thinking and your thoughts and your energy and your emotions, energy in motion, all by yourself. Why do I need to get involved in your indecisiveness?
Well, maybe the outcome involves you, and that's why you need to get involved.
Give me an example.
We're having an argument about a topic that I want to do.
Okay.
And you don't want to do it.
Okay.
How about that?
It's great. I can ask you, and that is most likely what I would do, what is so important about this topic that you feel it is qualified to be a topic in our legacy podcast?
What is it about this topic that makes you feel you don't want to talk about it?
I may feel uncomfortable discussing it now, maybe at a later point in time, I may be open discussing it.
But I feel like being uncomfortable would actually bring juice to the podcast episode. So I think that's a good thing that it makes you uncomfortable.
I totally respect your point of view. And I wonder if you can respect my point of view, that it will be maybe another time to discuss that. Whoa. Try to go. Bring it on.
It's true. She's unarguable. No, I want to do it, Daisy.
Okay, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring more from these old cabinets and drawers. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring the juicy one. The mean stuff. Bring it on.
The mean stuff?
Yeah.
Oh,
come
goodness.
On. Why not?
I don't really do mean stuff.
Make it up.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of
make it up.
Being nasty. It's
I know.
One of the things I think that should be talked about in this episode is...
Oh, I have an idea. What if you pretend to be Susie, who is such a mean human? She's one of the meanest humans in this world. And you just pretend, for the sake of the experiment, for a moment, to be her. And you bring it on.
All right. Do all the things that we don't want you to do. I'm just writing some notes.
No, that's fine.
Why Susie? Have we used that name before?
It could be Jody. It could be Gabby. It could be Mary. It could be John.
Oh, let's go with Karen, because the Karen
fine.
Is the persona, yeah, that everyone will get.
I'm fine. Yes.
Oh, it's just my auntie's name was Susie and she was lovely.
Oh, okay, fine.
Well, Daisy, I still want to do the topic. I think that you're being oversensitive and I think that it's time you just agreed with me.
It sounds to me that you would like me to agree to something I cannot agree upon. Is that right?
I don't believe that you cannot agree upon it. I think that you can and that you're making an excuse.
Actually, I truly appreciate that you just called me out because you're right. I can and I could, but I will not because I feel this is not the right time to do so. And I wonder if you can respect that for me, it is not the right time.
No, you're just procrastinating and you do this all the time and I'm sick of it.
I really appreciate you pointing out procrastination. Can you give me two or three examples where I am procrastinating?
Two or three.
Exactly.
That's not how the heat of an argument works. You don't get two or three examples.
Well, but I'm asking for it.
Don't ask me for examples. You know what you've done, Daisy.
You seem really upset.
Do I?
You seem really upset.
Do I seem upset, Daisy? Do I? That's because I am upset, Daisy. Thank you for noticing.
It's my joy. How can I ease your upset feelings?
This is the terrible argument. This is the worst argument I've ever been in. Now,
welcome.
I think that this demonstrates how difficult it is to have a one-sided argument with two people.
Yes. Now, there's a key to it. I stick with me. That's the key. I'm not lured in.
Okay. I think. Can you explain that?
Mm-hmm.
I stick with me. So you are saying that you are just talking about your own point of view.
And my observation.
As in that singular thing we talked about?
Yes, first person singular.
Right.
And I wholeheartedly respect how you feel. And I'm even noticing and I'm even naming how I'm observing you. I'm not saying, yeah, well, you are so upset. No, I say you seem upset. I leave it in the open because I could be wrong. Maybe you have a stomach pain or you need to fart and you can't, or you would, but you feel embarrassed. Whatever that is, I get it. So I stick with me. What I mean with that and what I'm referring to is that I do not allow myself to be pulled in from your dynamic or by your dynamic. Meaning that I respect my point of view and I stick to it. And only because you say I am a procrastinator doesn't make me a procrastinator. When I tell you that, here, I have a pen here and this pen is red to my eyes, but I tell you this is a neon green pen. Do you see it? No, Daisy, I see it red. No, it's neon green. Well, what's the point you arguing how I see it? It's not arguable. I think that it's a very good idea to start speaking about the non-arguables, because they are actually the key to argue in a very healthy way. It's not arguable to anyone how I feel. Try to argue. I feel as my stomach is crunching. I feel as if my jaw is getting tense. I feel as my palms are getting sweaty. Try to argue that. You cannot. It's my point of view and it's my sensations. Now, if I would say, well, you always do, that's arguable. First of all, because the always and the never and the all the time, the generalizations are unfair and not realistic. So stick with what is real within you. And when you then start expressing that, then you turn into the non-arguable. For example, I could say you, when you played Karen or pretended to be Karen in this experiment, I may say, Karen, you seem very frustrated. Can you share more with me? Argue that. You can't. Because I didn't say you are. Let me turn it around. Well, Karen, you're always so upset and you're yelling at me. No, I'm not. Oh, of course not, because while you're asleep, you're not arguing with me and you're not yelling. Stop going in and stop getting in or onto that slide of the roller coaster where it's getting really slippery and ugly in an argument. Just stop speaking about the arguables. This is how I feel. This is how I am observing it. I observe this pen as red. And even if it is black or green or yellow or blue or sparkling, to me, it is still red. Try to convince me that I don't see it as red. You can't. Wow, what a famous pen I made out of this, by the way. It is really special.
By the way, it actually is red.
Thank you. She's agreeing. Yay.
Oh. So what you're saying is we have arguables and non-arguables, as in topics. And then if you stick to the non-arguables, then it's actually very hard to argue. But I think that it is conditioning and experience and past behaviors that a lot of us fall back into the arguables, because that's how we've always argued, right? That's either we've been brought up that way or we've learned the behavior somewhere along the line.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that if we can just learn to undo some of that and argue in a healthier way, well, then it actually doesn't stay an argument. It's more of a debate or a discussion, which with much cooler, calmer heads and better results, because you're not getting caught up in the drama of the actual argument. And I have to throw in here that I think some people live on that drama. They thrive on the drama. And I think that is very unhealthy as well. And if you feel like that might be something that happens with you, then we did a great episode on Drama Queens. I'd recommend
going. She's really bringing that up.
Listen to that one.
I thought you speak about the shoebox.
Well, yes, the shoebox is probably still my favorite episode out of every episode that we've ever done, because it just made so much sense to me. And what a toolkit to know and embrace before you get into a relationship. Like, amazing episode. Highly recommend that you listen to the shoebox too, guys. If you do want to go and listen to these and you're not sure how to get there, just go to the website and type it in the search box or search it within your podcast player. So whether you're an Apple Podcasts or Spotify or one of the other platforms, you can just search our episode names in the platform and they'll come up, because there's a lot of them now.
I agree. Well, let me be Karen for a moment.
Be my guest.
This is all bull manure. You now pretend not being a drama queen and now you're accusing me of being a drama queen, although I've never been a drama queen, because you always call me out. Okay. Hint, hint, hint. Don't defend yourself. The moment you defend yourself with me, chances are that you will face yourself in that flow of a attempted argument. Because I will own up for my stuff. I do. As I did in the previous example, I just noticed now that I'm reflecting on it, that, oh, thank you for calling me out on that. I own up for my stuff. That's not arguable. Try to argue that. Yeah, well, you always do that. What is your definition of always? And then it's getting really nice because all you need to do is just wait and see. Because other people will reveal themselves. The beauty of it is that you allow them and you support them in developing and evolving. When I try to solve it for you, you will not face it. You won't see it.
That's true. I think we need to experience and see things for ourselves, no matter how small a thing it is. I used to get very frustrated with my ex-husband because he was a few years older than me and he had already gone through these experiences and had these answers that he thought by sharing those answers with me, he would save me perhaps some of the pain of the journey. But that didn't work for me. I needed to go through the process for myself and find the answers for myself. No one can just give you these answers because that's not meaningful. It's the process, I think, that you go through to get to the answer that gives you the understanding and the insight into why the outcomes are important, whatever it is.
There is a German saying, if I'm remembering correctly, that's also non-arguable. You see that? What I just said? I said, there's a German saying, if I remember correctly, argue that. Maybe I'm not recollecting the saying correctly, but I said, as I remember, or if I remember correctly. These are all tiny little communication skills, the tiny little nuances. Nevertheless, back to the saying that I recall, smart people learn from other people's experiences. Stupid people learn through their own experiences. That may sound harsh. It's nevertheless, there's a little truth to it, isn't it?
Well, that's almost the opposite of what I was just saying.
Well, that's why it came to my mind.
I think in some circumstances that can certainly be true. But I really do think that people need to experience things for themselves because that's where the learning is. So you can say, oh, Watts's face did that already and that was the outcome, so that will be your outcome too. But is that necessarily true? Because different person, different circumstances, different time, different everything could be a completely different outcome. You don't know it'll be the same. And I admit there'll be some circumstances where that does ring true. I certainly don't believe it all the time.
I think there are circumstances where it is a smart move to learn from other people's experiences. And then there are things that I'm just eager to face myself and feel myself and learn all by myself with my five senses, sense it, and then I get a sense of it. And then I will be able to understand it, meaning that I will be able to stand under it. So I will be able to carry it. So it's a fine line. Nevertheless, I think that every single one of us is capable and determined to choose for themselves. Do you want to be the master in arguments? And if so, which type of master do you want to be? The one that nobody dares to argue with? Because, oh, it's so scary when you argue with Daisy, you will lose. Or is it someone, let me try to argue with Daisy. Maybe I can lure her in, like when you played to be Karen in this experiment before? Or is it, let us have a great conversation where it's not about being right or wrong, but let's have a discourse?
Discourse.
That is what I meant to say, and thank you for correcting me. Exactly. You see, this is a great little example where oftentimes couples slip off. I just said that. No, you didn't. Yes, I just said that. No, you didn't. Who's right? Well, if this one said, this is what I heard you say, this is what I meant to say, there's no surface to argue, you see? And as much as we were conditioned or are conditioned and learned how to argue, we also have the power to undo that, uncondition ourselves.
Yeah, although I have got to admit that is going to be tougher in the heat of the moment when there are feelings and emotions flying backwards and forth, I think.
Stop. My body's reaction to perception has nothing to do with anyone who may push or pull the trigger. It's my body and it's my perception. And when I start realizing that it is my body's reaction to perception, I won't have the ground anymore to blame you. You made me feel worthless. How? You took my values, my intelligence, my thought processes, my experience. You took it all away. How? It's impossible.
I think you're right. And I think it's also a good time to analyze the words we speak of, because I think that we flip back to things automatically almost without really thinking about what we're saying.
Autopilot.
And that can be, a big part of this. Mm-hmm. What I was trying to say, because you are right in what you're saying, I'm just pointing out that when you're still learning this, it is tough in the heat of the moment to step back and practice your non-arguables, because you can get caught up in the heat of it. You can get caught up in the passion, and you can get caught up in someone saying things to you or about you, and you want to defend yourself.
That's the trap.
Because you're reacting. Like, so I'm saying this because I just want to acknowledge that's possibly going to happen, and this is going to take practice.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a good idea, if you really do want to instigate some change for yourself, to figure out some non-arguables and practice them so that you've got them in your toolkit for next time an arguable situation comes up, and then you can practice being non-arguable and see the effect it has. And it might have a really profound effect when you realize the power of being empowered with these different set of words that completely change things within this dynamic. And it's one of the amazing and beautiful things about communication is that once we learn these tools, it has a profoundly different effect on our relationships and our interactions with people around us. And that's exciting. But don't feel bad if you slip a little. This does take practice. We don't expect anybody to be perfect straight up. And I'll put my hand up for needing practice. Straight away.
Me too. Look, I practice since a long time and sometimes I still slip. Well, I think now that you point out the basis of communication, say what you mean what you say. So when I say to you, you are always looking like that, you're always staring at me like that, it's just not right. What am I really saying? What does always mean to me? Is always 24/7? Or does always mean twice a week? So why am I lying out loud and put myself into this arguable position that's totally unnecessary? The more I become aware of what I say and my definitions, I'm working on truly, solely starting to speak in ways with words that I can define at any time. It's a challenge. I'm working on it, and it will maybe require 2 more lifetimes or maybe 20 more years, and I'm ready for it. When we understand that when I turn into me, when I turn towards me to perceive, acknowledge that my body's reaction to perception may be overwhelming at times, but then I can slow down and recollect myself, notice if this is now truly happening and if how I'm evaluating it, is that really true or is that just a story my storyteller tells my mind and I'm this movie maker and I'm making up all these horrifying stories. I can give you a very cute example. I left to town today and I have a house guest and guess what? I'm arriving where I wanted to go and I noticed that, oh, I changed my handbag and I'd left my wallet at home. So I'm calling my house guest and I said, would you please check if I left my wallet at home? Yes, you did. I said, would you mind sitting in the car and bringing it to me? Oh yeah, I will be right on my way. Guess what? They call me while I'm totally busy where I'm at. I miss their call. I try calling them back 3 times and I already thought, oh my goodness, maybe now they locked themselves out of the house without their phone, maybe without the key to their car. Maybe I wait another 20 minutes. So inevitably, my mind movie kicked in until I caught it and they say, oh, you're just my mind movie. And I took control back, being the captain again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And although I practiced over decades, I'm still capable of making these fabulous, fantastic, colorful, dramatic, horrific, and sometimes really tragic mind movies in my head. 98% of them never happen. And then the moment I catch myself, I'm able to smile about it and realize, it's just an old pattern. And I take myself out. It's not about you being responsible for taking me out. No, it's my responsibility, me being able to respond, in a different way.
Yeah, so true, Daisy. And I think that also relates straight back to our shoebox episode, doesn't it? One thing I really think is super important that you mentioned there is also a recent topic we did, which I called Meeting of the Minds. Mm. And I think that especially when we use these words like always or these other generalizations that really aren't true, mm-mm, I don't think that's fair play. And then the other thing is this Meeting of the Minds point, because if you're not talking about the same thing, of course you're going to argue. So let's clarify that we're talking about the same thing first.
Yes.
Before we start arguing.
Brava, brava. Absolutely. Yes, totally. Yeah. Exactly. And say what you mean what you say, and therefore be able to define what you're trying to express or what you're expressing. And if someone calls you out, what is your definition of, then give me a moment. I will think about that. I get back to you. There is no such urge or necessity, although it may be a felt necessity, but it's not really real that I have to respond immediately. No, why? Take your time.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I just want to quickly shout out to all the mothers out there, because we do our best bringing up our children.
Yes.
And we do our best with what we have at the time. Mm-hmm. And our children grow up into adults and realize that they've got issues and traumas and made mistakes. And I do not want any mother out there for 1 second to take the blame for that, because we're all on our own journeys with our own set of circumstances and our own plans, our own ways of doing things and our own lessons to learn. So I just wanted to put that out there to all the mums and dads who might find it tough knowing that their children are going through issues, but just know that is their path. And you did your best at the time with what you had, and we love you for that.
Yes, exactly. And that right on leads to self-forgiveness. And the more I'm capable of forgiving myself, the less arguable I am.
Nice.
It's all connected. All. And I wholeheartedly appreciate that you just brought up the moms and the dads. We all wouldn't be here without our moms and dads. And through their collaboration, we have our life. Mm. And I appreciate that. And maybe one day we do speak, maybe in a salon talk about our ancestors.
Yeah. Well, that's it from us today. We hope you've enjoyed this episode about arguments, and we do hope it inspires you to argue in a healthier way.
Or let's argue.
Never argue again.
No, let's argue. I want to argue with you.
But
I don't know. Yes, I want to argue. I want to argue.
No, Daisy, you're terrible at it.
I take it as a compliment. Thank you.
Yes, do take that as a compliment. That's it from us today. As always, please go to selfrecoding.com and check out our sponsor. If you think that this episode helped you, wait till you do an actual session with Daisy. Your mind will be blown. And don't forget as well, you can contact us at baldandblonde.live. Everything's right there on the website. That's it. We've had great fun today with you guys. We'll be back real soon with another episode. We are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our show with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place for you, for us, for future generations. When you need consulting or coaching, visit selfrecoding.com. Also, please remember to rate us 5 stars and leave a review and support us at baldandblonde.live. Talk to you soon.